Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I hear you're a woman from a family.
What act you're going back and forth?
Got an ass like an amphitheater.
It begins with a U, it ends with an A. Has a meal in your shoulder.
Monday Night Raw, number one. All right.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw review as the other Cultaholic lads are going through the intricacies of the big show in Saudi Arabia. We are here via our Ica Pro powered DeLorean, probably in some armory or some old plane hangar in America, talking about the intricacies of Monday Night Raw in the mid-90s. And who be we? I be fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, former Cultaholic heavyweight champion Tom Campbell. I am with the bear in the big blue bar cage, the man who, if you were to hand him a pencil, he would take a big old sword that is unconnected to anything currently going on in wrestling, and he would slice that sword in half, and you'd hand him a pen. Doesn't need a pencil, gets it right every time. He is Justin Henry, and he is off of America.
You know, I dressed as John Belushi's samurai for Halloween when I was about 14 or 15, and I did carry a giant katana sword.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. Please tell me there's pictorial evidence of this.
There was, but I have no idea what's happened to it in the interim 20 years since.
Oh, you let us down at the last hurdle. Failed.
None of my classmates got it because they're not hipsters like I am. And Belushi was dead before any of us were born.
Oh, that's a bit sad now. We are recording this just a few hours removed from WWE Crown Jewel. Any initial thoughts on it, Justin?
I didn't watch it.
Fair enough. I did. Kane and Brock was dreadful. What a waste of everyone's time that was.
Oh, I watched you guys on the stream, and I wrote in several times to insult you guys, as I usually do on those things.
You really did. I was getting some... My top-class trolling last night came from Justin, who was paying $10 a time to troll me. Thanks, mate.
Yes. Yes. You see, Tommy here was wearing a shark mask, and
Barry on his way to a funeral.
Who the hell is Barry?
Barry, who? What?
Are you kidding me?
Paying attention to the law of Cultaholic.
Oh, right.
I know we lived on the periphery for a long time, Justin. We were very much the outsiders. But they've opened the door for me, right?
Hey.
Yes, friend.
Okay, you bearded dolt, listen to me. It is 12:45 in the morning my time.
It's 4:45 in the morning where I am!
But you've slept. I haven't.
No, I haven't. I just cried for a bit.
Do you see what this show is doing to us?
I've got a cat and it scratched the door for ages.
So anyway... I made the Captain Birdie joke of smile, you son of a bitch, and that was that. And it's not even that funny now because we got mad at each other instead.
It's fine. We're just a lover's tiff. We'll have sex later. It'll be fine. Justin, as you could tell, there is some beautiful high-pitched mirth from our dispute. We have a guest this week.
Oh, is that what it is? Yes. Okay. Yes, our good friend Sydney Zumowitz is here. And not only Sydney Zumowitz, but the famous Sydney Zumowitz, through her AEW jack-o'-lantern, gained a little social media fame this week. How you doing, Sid?
Yay! I'm doing good. I'm petting my cat and laughing like crazy.
I think that we get a cultaholic. We get accused of being too pro AEW, and I think that's completely wrong. But we'd like to welcome one of the heads of our Discord, the AEW fan of the week.
It was definitely a surprise, but it was really cool to have happen. The funniest thing was that Ross was literally the first reply on it.
Oh, love him. What'd you get for that? Is there a prize? Do you get like to pet Pharaoh or something?
I've already pet Pharaoh twice.
Oh, you have, haven't you? You lucky devil.
Yeah.
What does Pharaoh feel like?
Oh, he's so soft.
What does he smell like? It smells like that's a shame.
It smells like make him go
Tom, where are your hands right now?
They are holding a coffee because it's quarter okay. 5 a.m.
The funniest thing.
No, go I've got a cat and it's scratching the door.
What's excited?
It's excited to see me home so late.
The funniest thing is when I'm making those references, only Tom's going to get it because I know Justin doesn't watch Being the Elite.
I was with you on that one. Justin doesn't watch anything after 1999.
Hey, that is not true.
The Ike and Power DeLorean is yours, sir.
What? I watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That counts for something.
I watch Blackadder.
AEW, that counts for something. That's modern.
Do you watch AEW?
Yes, it's my favorite promotion.
Well, there we go. We can let him off at least that, Sydney. He just doesn't watch Being the Elite. Being the Elite.
Yeah, so I have to catch him up with all the funny references that they end up doing on TV now. Oh, it was so fun hearing Justin's reaction to that. to Kenny coming out of Sans.
I was so baffled.
You were like, can you please explain this to me?
I played two video games, though, all right? Q-Bert and Super Mario 2.
Super Mario 2 is a good shout, though. Like, so if you come out dressed as Wart, you've been all right.
Yeah, it's like, you should have flown out like Albatross.
Oh, Albatross! Or started shooting eggs through his stomach like Birdo.
Oh, my God.
I saw the song on my head. Anyway, go on.
Birdo, the original gender non-binary. True story. The original video game, gender non-binary.
That is true. They were ahead of their time.
They really, really flipping were. But anyway, look. Shut up, right? Shut up. We're not here to talk about now. We are in an Ike and Power DeLorean, and we're going back to the past. Play the video games that suck ass. We are back.
Yeah! Tom, stop it. You're making so many references that make me love you even more.
That's my statesman right there, James Rolfe.
Oh, he is an absolute hero, that guy. I find if I'm short of content for a news video, I'll just reference a YouTube show I like. That normally helps.
Oh, it always helps. Me and Austin go crazy every time you do.
Tom, prepare to bleep me here. I'm gonna segue your reference into this show. Ready?
I'm ready.
This show is a shitload of fuck. It was a fuckload of shit.
I would clap, but my parents are sleeping.
Don't mind. Tell them the gag. They'll appreciate it. Thank you for waking us up, Sid. We agree. It's a good joke.
I'd rather have a buffalo. Anyway, I'm not here to sing. You're not getting the singing version. It's late at night.
Oh, that's a shame. So we are back via our Ike and Pro Power DeLorean in 1994. Justin, take it away. When and where are we for Monday Night Raw this week?
This episode aired on Monday, April 18th, 1994. It was taped 1 week earlier at the Memorial Auditorium in Utica, New York.
Oh, that's an Albany expression.
Yes, it is.
Before we get into the rigors of the show, just a couple of notes from the Wrestling Observer for around this time. Just to give you a little bit of a flavor of what we're dealing with in the past here for everybody here today. WCW announcer Jesse Ventura, according to the Wrestling Observer, has just been awarded $809,000 in his lawsuit against Titan Sports for videotape royalties by a jury in St. Paul. This was just a few days ago. This means that on a lot of tapes from the time period now. You're not going to hear Jesse Ventura on them. We mentioned this last week, how that Jesse Ventura has been very, very like removed from a lot of commentary that he did, which leaves really long gaps where Tony Schiavone's just talking to himself.
Yeah, fun fact about that trial. Ventura asked his lawyer to ask Vince when he was on the stand during deposition, because 8 years earlier, Ventura tried to start a union, and he had the guys right before WrestleMania 2. He was going to use that event as leverage to say, we're not going to work until we're allowed to unionize, and you acknowledge that. And right before that, somebody stooged Jesse out, and everybody else backed out because they needed their jobs desperately, and they didn't want to be seen as unionizing. So Ventura for years wondered who stooged him out. So he asked his lawyer, when Vince is on the stand, you know, who told you about the union? And Vince said under oath, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, Hogan, you dirty rat.
And Ventura lost respect for him from that day forward, because Hogan was taken care of. It wouldn't have affected him any, according to Jesse.
That's a bit rubbish. That is very rubbish. Also from the news, two gentlemen had a meeting with Titan Sports over the last week or so, sort of testing the waters as
Adam
well
Ross.
With All Japan. Nearly. You're very, very close. They looked like they were leaving All Japan to go to get some work where they're from in the States. They were torn between Titan Sports, the WWF, and WCW. The concern was the perception of Titan Sports was it was an organization that was very unstable. With the exception, WCW looks like it's booming. So these two in question turned down an offer from the WWF and went to WCW in 1994. Those two men were Brian Pillman and Steve Austin.
Well, they were already there. They were just kind of torn between at the time.
Yeah, whether they were going to stay or they were going to go over to the WWF. Imagine how different WWF would have been if Pillman and Austin had turned up in the mid-90s. Very early mid-90s.
Yeah, it's a shame Austin never went there.
He would have done great things. And Spring Stampede was last night for WCW in a dark match, which received a lot of national publicity.
Wait. I know it.
You know this match? Okay, right. Tell us what the dark match was on this episode of Spring Stampede. Sid, this is going to blow your mind. It blew mine.
Okay. I'm certain I remember half of this. I believe one of the wrestlers was Danny Bonaducci.
Okay.
And I believe he beat, was it Peter Brady or Bobby Brady?
It was Danny Bonaducci versus Christopher Knight, a.k.a. Peter Brady of the Brady Bunch.
I should have guessed it was Peter, because he's done the most like reality sort of publicity stunt type stuff. So yeah, that makes sense.
This was
Danny Partridge versus Bobby versus Peter Brady.
The Battle of the Partridges and the Bradys took place at Spring Stampede in a dark match. The match is said to have been incredibly horrible, to the point it was perversely entertaining as bad comedy. It was a total expose as they were doing high spots, and Knight couldn't stop laughing while he was in the ring. Danny Bonaducci got a big pop at his appearance, sold tickets locally. Next time they do something like this, they should put oversized boxing gloves on them rather than try and give them a crash course in being a wrestler and have them botch up high spots.
Why is this not up on Hidden Gems yet?
Oh, give it time. But isn't it funny how they have inexperienced wrestlers in WCW at this point and they put them in a dark match when nobody does it? WWE get inexperienced wrestlers and they put them on friggin' Crown Jewel.
Well, I mean, at least Cain Velasquez and Tyson Fury have, like, you know, athletic backgrounds.
I wouldn't know it's to watch wrestlers. Fury. Just I'm being overly mean on Fury. But
well, it's I didn't watch the match, but I heard it wasn't good.
Sid, what do we think of Fury Strowman from Crown Jewel?
I was also not watching because I was getting my hair done half of the show. Fine. So yeah, like I was watching the stream, and every time like where I would disappear for a while and then come back, I was getting my hair done.
So. Oh, fair. Okay.
So I couldn't. I had to make a choice, either Cultaholic or Crown Jewel, and I chose Cultaholic.
Yeah.
But oh my God, that can't be real. Freaking Brady? Like, oh, what?
Parker yes, versus Brady happened.
But yes, Spring Stampede was a great show otherwise.
But this didn't matter.
What is it?
What is what?
Spring Stampede. I've never heard of it.
It was a pay-per-view in April 1994 in Chicago.
Oh, okay. I never knew.
It was that. It was their WCW Spring pay-per-view. They ran it for about, I think, about 7 years. I think it was something like that.
Gotcha.
There's a hell of a match on there. It's Cactus Jackson and Max Payne versus the Nasty Boys in a Falls Count Anywhere match for the tag belts. That kind of set the standard for future hardcore matches.
Nice.
Actually, since we're here, let me just pull something up real fast.
And also, was it not Sid versus Jeff Jarrett at a Spring Stampede in 2000? Was it like during like the very sad last final throws of WCW? We had a really bad Spring Stampede. I'm sure it may have been Terry Funk versus Norman Smiley.
That would have been like, I mean, it's definitely the era, but you're kind of mishmashing there because it all runs together, that crap.
Yeah, it was a funny old time for WCW in general.
I got it right here with Meltzer's match ratings for the matches that he did actually see. Johnny B. Badd versus DDP, 2.25 stars. TV title, Steven Regal and Brian Pillman in the time limit draw, 2.75. Nasties versus Cactus and Payne for the tag belts in the street fight, 4.5 stars.
Oh, dang.
And the match ends with a really brutal shot, I remember. Austin versus Great Muta for the U.S. title, only 2.75.
Oh. Muta?
So Great Muta, yes.
Sting versus I want that as a text tone now. Just Sid going, Muta?
Muta? Hello, Muta.
That's nice. Never even thought of that.
Sting and Rude for the forgotten International World Heavyweight title. Oh, yeah. Only 2 stars.
Wow.
Bunkhouse Buck versus Dustin Rhodes in a bunkhouse match. 4 stars.
Hey, Dustin.
Vader versus the Boss, which is the Big Boss Man. 3.5. And Flair and Steamboat rekindling their old rivalry for the world title, 4.25.
Ooh,
that's a hell of a show right there.
When
sounds good.
When Regal and Pillman went to a time limit draw, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Did Regal then get on the mic and go, "I've got one solution, War Games"?
No, he went backstage and yelled at Tony Khan.
As we all do now.
Why are you dressing like Orange Cassidy? What are you, a Mark or something?
Hey, Jim, anyway. Look, he's dressing like Orange Cassidy, Jim. So many people on Twitter doing that. I hate Cornette snitches. You're the worst people. Look, Jim, look at Tony Khan dressing like Orange Cassidy. Look, Jim, acknowledge me, Jim.
And they all
I think Tom doesn't like those people.
I hate them. They're in my Straight to Hell with Ross. And I was like, I hate Cornette snitches. Worst. Jim, look at this, Jim. Shut up, you troll. Nasty little scroat. Look at this, Jim.
They're the only people in the world Tom hates. He loves telemarketers. He loves door-to-door salesmen, but he hates those people.
You know what? Yeah, I could talk to a telemarketer for hours about what they're up to, but... Cornette snitch. Look at this, Jim. Look at what he's done, Jim. They can all die in a fire.
Wait, why does Luna Vachon have Twitter?
Hey, Jim. Look at this gimmick you won't like.
What is the sequence of this death match, Jim?
Let's all do the podcast.
Look what superhuman did, Jim. So anyway... Onward with this wretched show.
Do we have to talk about
Raw? Do we have to? It's a bad show.
We just hang out like great mates.
I took notes. We're doing this.
Fine.
Aww. Fine. Me and Tom are disappointed.
I am disappointed.
I disappoint everybody. You guys, Adam, God.
Luna.
Luna.
Luna's shaking her fist from wrestling
heaven. I'm going to tell Jim Cornette you're making us do a podcast. Look, Jim!
Anyway, this is going to be the goofy show. I could just tell.
I love it.
So we start with the replay of Jerry Lawler falling off the throne from last week.
Because the funniest part. This was top banter. This was in the 90s. Jerry Lawler falling off his throne. Now I watched the replay. Was the guy meant to? It didn't look like an accident. It looked quite malicious on Dwayne Gill's part to watch it again. Yes, he deliberately bends his legs, whoop, and just drops him. Felt quite malicious.
Well, they were all supposed to lower it down together so it'd be parallel with the apron, but Gill was early. That's how they. But see, the problem here is, this is about 8 months removed from the Shockmaster incident, which was one of the absolute funniest moments in history, because it was unplanned and the dude fell on his damn face. His mask falls off. The whole thing is completely ruined. Here, they keep replaying it over and over again to the point where it's like, like, it was kind of funny the first time you saw it, because Law took a hell of a bump off of it. Crowd loved it. It looked great. But it's diminishing returns.
Diminishing returns is the key here. Like, they really milk this.
And Vince acts like this is the funniest thing this side of, you know, Don Rickles roasting somebody for two straight minutes. And it's just like, ah, lucky fell. Ah, next week, ah, lucky fell. Ah.
You can always tell the stuff that Vince has had a good hand in writing, because it's the stuff that, like, gets repeated over and over again. This is really good. You know what? I love this.
Vince's favorite movie is Football in the Groin.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Football in the Groin.
Then John, I want Jerry Lawler in Hans Moleman getting hit by football.
and then Vince McMahon saying, I was saying boo, earn it down.
This contest is over. Give that man the $10,000. Vince, the one guy laughing in the crowd. So we go to the open here. We got Vince and Savage at ringside. Savage is once again an all-time great. The kiss of death for Randy Savage.
Although later on in the show, Vince McMahon toys with Savage's emotions.
Oh, he absolutely does.
He was basically, and I don't want to use this term in a pithy sentence because I don't mean to, but he was basically sort of like just filling him with false hope, filling him with false dreams, like really playing him along. Very sad. Yeah. We'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah. We'll delve deeper into that little topic. At this point, we've learned that Jerry Lawler is going to interview Alundra Blaze. I'm just going to say it right now, about 20 minutes in advance. That may have been the worst thing I've seen on this show so far.
Wow, really?
Agreed.
Worse than Bastion Booger's food-based commentary. Worse than the Tiny Tim segment.
Worse than Men on a Mission.
How dare you? Well, I mean, it is, because Men on a Mission are so good.
Well, I said worse than, so...
Well, I'm excited to get to this because I think we may have a slight conflict. Not complete conflict, but a slight conflict of opinion.
So help me God if you defend this.
Okay, I've got all my anger. I got 12 months of bile out talking about Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez. Like, I am very much like back in my zen state now, so I found the good in this.
I'm going to hit pause on this thing right now. I'm going to put on Crown Jewel, watch that 2-minute monstrosity. And I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna say, oh no, you're wrong. Because I saw the gifs of Kane throwing those kicks at Brock. Those kicks look great.
No, the one kick. Like I think what you've seen, you think you've seen a gif? You haven't. You've seen the whole match.
Okay. But that was better than this then.
And kick, a punch, untapped now. Thanks for all that build. Thank God that we stopped Kofi's title reign for this.
From what I heard, a lot of people liked it because it seemed like it was a UFC style match.
Yeah, but then the argument there is, if we're gonna get into this sucker, we're gonna get into this sucker. The argument there is then you go, oh cool, it's a UFC style match. This is in Cain Velasquez's wheelhouse. No, he got dicked. He got dicked in his own match. Like in seconds. Like, you can't even play the whole thing of, oh, he's in Brock Lesnar's world now. Like, this is wrestling. He's no good at that. No, they played to the strengths of Kane, and he still got dicked.
Whoa.
No.
We saw Taker lose a casket match to Yokozuna.
Fair point, well made. I'll go back and give this match an A.
So therefore, Yokozuna...
gets a thumbs up.
So therefore, Yokozuna is the Brock Lesnar of casket matches.
The Brock Lesnar of casket matches.
We also learned that Bret Hart is going to wrestle Quang. Not just Quang, but as Vince says, martial art expert Quang. As in, he knows one.
He knows.
Yeah.
He's all martial and no art.
He's done. One eye's good.
He shops at Marshall's. That's where he buys his pants.
Yeah, we haven't seen how Vince has spelt martial art here, have we?
He draws on all the clothes.
He's like, I drew a butterfly.
Okay.
That's some good martial art.
We're going to add a little tree to these cool lots. It's a happy accident.
All right, John, take it.
Sid, make the call.
All right, John, I want Vince McMahon as Bob Ross with the canvas drawing on Quang's pants.
And also, I would like Quang as Bob Ross. Do both, please, John. Thanks, mate. Love you.
But the highlight of this segment is when Randy Savage asked Bret, why doesn't he give him a title shot?
Oh, dear.
This is like the part of the intervention when Savage goes, I don't have a problem, do I? And everyone just stares at their feet.
The thing is, right, Vince is awful later. Something Vince says later on is awful, unforgivable in this context, which we'll get to.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Oh, it makes me sad. And a bit
so angry. We start out with Bret versus Quang. This match is not a title match, but Quang can earn a shot if he beats Bret, which is the modern formula of how guys get title matches, by beating the champions who are apparently not immune to 50-50 booking. But this is a different time, of course.
I'm fine with this. The whole thing of it's a you're not in the rankings to have a championship match. But you know what? You're in this exhibition match with the champ. If you beat him, you get a shot. I'm all right with that. Like, as long as the champ doesn't always lose, like, I'm fine with just adding that little, because it just adds a little bit of jeopardy to what would be otherwise a standard match.
Well, that's true. And Bret always, in his first reign, he was always the fighting champion. He defended against Blake Beverly and Virgil and a bunch of random people just because, you know, he'd take on anybody at any time.
Exactly.
It's kind of fun. We have some incidents here involving fans. I don't know if he called this, but when Bret was coming down the aisle, in the actual aisleway itself, some fan grabbed his jacket and Bret had to forcefully yank himself away. As if he was being pulled into like a raging fire or something, and he had to free himself.
I think it was a woman.
No, not that part. This was...
This was something different?
Yeah, there's two incidents here. He's 10 feet out of the curtain, and some fan just grabs onto him, and Bret has to just jerk himself away. But he maintained his cool all the while. Meanwhile, Savage is still pressing about wanting to be in there wrestling the champion, and Vince is kind of, whistling and looking the other way. Then Bret hands off his shades to some kid in the crowd, but the girl next to this kid is so smitten with Bret, she's kissing him and hugging him, and he's just completely ignoring her.
I mean, arguably, there's issues there. That's a bit it's a bit hashtag me too for my liking.
It's kind of like you in the front row when, like, I don't know, like Bull Dempsey walks by or something.
Oh God, yeah, I'd give him the biggest case.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bull is beautiful.
Nick Jackson.
Yes.
He's all right as well, I suppose.
Oh shush.
Which wrestler have you? Right. Which wrestler? Everybody, question for the room: which wrestlers have you kissed lately? Who did I kiss? I kissed Gene Money. Gene Money, I gave him a kiss at North the other week. He's lovely. Who else did I kiss lately?
But this is awkward.
I love that he's like, I gotta think about it. I've kissed a lot. How many did I
give? H.T. Drake a kiss. He had a kiss off me. Give Rory Coyle a kiss. He got a kiss off me. Did I kiss Sugar Dunkerton when he turned up? No, I didn't kiss Sugar Dunkerton.
Justin, do we have to start an intervention?
Yes.
Let me kiss the wrestlers!
Anyway, I'm just going to move on with this match now.
Fine then. Only me kissing wrestlers. That's fine. Then move on to the next bit.
It's okay. You do you.
No, I'm doing the wrestlers.
Quang busts out the Asuka Mist, or as Vince calls it, slime. Nickelodeon.
That green slime.
Who spits
just
slime?
Like slime?
Who spits slime?
Gunge.
It's like, it's mist. I mean, you don't just rebrand it because it's in your company. It's got to be something different now.
I like how it's like just a standard move. It's almost like somebody who's playing a video game and one of the wrestling games, and they've just assigned all finishers for their standard move set. Like, just the spit in the face is just, oh, he's just done that thing. Anyway, leg lock.
It was always me on Fire Pro.
Is it you? Do you assign yourself all the finishers, Justin?
Oh, yes. I had the Vertebreaker. I had Tombstone Piledriver.
Are you the worst? Like,
why? That's how you win.
No, it's not. It's wrong. Devalues all those moves.
No, it doesn't. Because eventually one of them works. It's like being a janitor with like a giant set of keys. One of them's going to unlock your locker.
Oh, a wrestling janitor.
That wouldn't be the worst gimmick on this show, actually.
No, it certainly isn't.
But instead of mist, you'd use that pink sawdust stuff from when some kid throws up in class. You just throw it in your eyes.
That'd be fun.
The question is, did he spit Nickelodeon slime?
He gacked them.
He spat it at the monitor, and as the slime fell down, it just left the words "all that."
Remember when Tajiri, Muda, and Kabuki all missed a guy at the same time in some show recently?
Did that happen?
Earlier this year.
I didn't know that happened.
Wow.
It was one of the WrestleMania weekend shows. So if it was Nickelodeon Gack, would it be a Bugacki?
Oh, God, he went there, yes. I mean, it would.
Oh, wait a minute. Did that happen at Supercard?
One of those shows, yes, at Mania weekend.
It might have happened at Supercard, and I just didn't remember it. I was there. How did I forget that?
What if it happens at StarCast this coming next weekend? Where, like, Muta spits the mist, Conrad spits tobacco.
How much gack do you need?
I can't go, and it makes me sad.
Oh, no, how come?
Because I've got school.
Oh, that's a rubbish excuse.
And I can't get to Baltimore without paying a crap load of money for a flight.
Could you hitchhike to Baltimore like Mick Foley did to MSG?
I don't know how in the world I'd do that.
Put your thumb out on the freeway.
Oh my God, Tom.
Take us to Baltimore. I'm sure that is perfectly fine and not fraught with danger.
Just hope a big sign says Conrad.
And then Conrad pulls up in what I believe is an 18-wheeler. I feel like he should drive an 18-wheeler.
Hey, let's listen to one of my 5 shows as we go along the way.
As he's driving, he'll just every so often he'll be
just keeps repeating it.
He'll just go, "Hey, we're going to pull in and get some food in a minute. Before we do, I want to tell you about Blue Chew."
Every time he turns to you and says, "I asked a good question there. Take a sip." You'll be drunk. You'll be drunk before Pittsburgh.
I actually got to say, chat me up on this to Conrad recently. That was a big highlight for me.
Did he sneer at you?
No, I don't know. I couldn't see him. I presume he hated every minute of talking to me. But
I can't blame him.
I can't either. He put up with me for an hour, so I can't ask any more of the man.
That poor man.
I was expecting the invite to StarCast. It hasn't come, so that says a lot. But that's...
We've got a great spot here where Brett's holding Quang in an armbar and he spits at Harvey Whippleman. That was nice.
Yeah,
I didn't
Harvey
see
getting
that.
A bit of Goss in the face.
Brett's very subtle. He did it very quickly.
Ah.
I'd like to point out there's no heat between me and Conrad Thompson. We're both fine. Just before anything gets... just wanted to take the bend out of that page and just say that's fine. We're all good.
Everybody loves Tom except for anonymous YouTube commenters.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Belgit Leons, who keeps telling me to die and get hit by traffic.
Why do you remember his name? Jesus.
Because he says it a lot.
No, he's been haunted by it. Every time he closes his eyes, he sees that name.
Every time I cross the road.
Why don't you have a face?
He's my neighbor.
Because I'm a coward.
Still get hit by traffic, though. Yeah.
So Quang, or Savio, as I wrote in some parts because I forgot, hits this badass spinning heel kick in the corner where he goes flying over the ropes to the floor, lands right on his feet. Savio was so good.
Pretty sweet.
It's Savage asked where Quang's from, which Vince can't answer because Vince almost blurted out Puerto Rico. You know he did.
He's from wherever they do martial arts. Martial arts lands.
He's from Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den Dojo. So then a groggy Owen Hart calls in. Owen's on obviously on cough medicine or something.
I thought so too.
He didn't sound like he was up for this at all.
He was backstage playing cribbage with like Chief J Strongbow or something. Yeah, we got to do this bit now. All right. So Owen's talking about like yeah, I'm his brother and I can beat him and Quang's beating him up right now. And Vince is going, one, two. And Owen's just without missing a beat. Yeah, we'd all get a shot on the WrestleMania Revenge Tour, and then because I'm his brother and I know him better than anyone, and I beat him once. And I'm sure Quang's gonna do a good job. One, two. It's like, it's just they're on different pages in different books.
My favorite part of that was after the 1-2, you'd hear Owen go like, well, that was a really close one, but I'll tell you when I'm in there.
That was very
like,
cool.
That was another close one.
Owen and his stupor was not going to be deterred.
I was a big fan of just how seamless Owen was, even though he was, as you say, hopped up on cough medicine and just couldn't be bothered to do it. These have been miss rather than hit, these phone-ins. And you know what? I think even in 2019, we're still trying to get the phone in right, like with shonky Skype video calls. We're still trying to get this idea of calling in right. And they always struggle. They always struggle.
And when do we get to the Raw where Charlie Sheen Skypes in?
Oh, my God. Does that happen?
Yes, that happened. I remember it.
Jeebus. Wait till we get to Million Dollar Mania in about 30 years' time.
14
years' time. We'll all be dead by then.
Half of it.
I won't.
I will. I'm dead at 36.
Don't say that.
Because I love how you're like, yeah, I'm dead at 36.
You know, I've had a great time. I've had a great time. All my bills are paid. I'm fine.
You know how creepy it's going to be when Adam finally has enough of you and then gets the cleaver. I'll just move on. I know nothing.
At 36.
Okay, well, you get to enjoy Christmas at least.
I will. This is my last Christmas. Like Wham.
So Brett finishes with the sharpshooter after hitting like 47 moves of doom in a row. Quang is just he's just taking every move. But the funny part is Brett puts a sharpshooter on Quang, and when Earl Hebner gets down to ask Quang if he submits, he blocks him from crawling.
Yeah, that was a bit of a dick move by Earl.
Like, if Quang was thirsty and dying in the desert, Earl would be 10 feet away with a bottle of water. Like, come on, 10 more feet, come on.
Earl Hebner allowed Bret Hart to get a screwy victory in 1994. We'll have to wait 3 years for him to redress the balance on this.
Yes, perhaps the universe will balance out here.
It hey, certainly Quang's, will.
Quang screwed Quang. Run down some revenge tour dates. We get Doink and Dink hanging out at a skating rink in New York for a charity event.
Are Doink and Dink running for president?
No.
Because, like, the last few weeks, it has just been, well, here's Doink and Dink, like, doing some really good things out and about. You know what? True story. They had more charisma and presence in these outdoor events than Luger had on his entire summer tour.
Yeah, Doink should have had the bus or a clown car or something.
Doink the clown versus Yokozuna's SummerSlam main event.
It couldn't have been any worse than what we got.
It's true.
But what's funny about this whole thing is, you ask, you know, are they running for president? What are they doing? It's because somebody has a trial coming up in a few months, and we're trying to make sure that everybody knows the company has a squeaky clean image. Look, the kids love all of us.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he has quite literally sent in the clowns to make sure that everybody is happy with what they're doing.
And speaking of clowns, we come to Randy Savage, who has what may be the most baffling moment of his entire Raw run up to this point. We see the ring card girl, a woman who's identified as Dana Dotson, who you and I agreed last week looked like basically Alexa Bliss with mole hair.
Yeah, I know her.
So it's this woman. And Savage says the following sentence, which I went back and verbatim wrote down just to make sure that I had this right. Sid, you're a student. I want you to help diagram this sentence if you possibly can, okay?
Okay.
that's not Tonya Harding, that's Dana Dotson, and I like sushi too, but there's definitely no correlation.
What? Did he have a stroke halfway through that sentence?
Is it because... excuse me, everybody. Is it because Dana Dotson's outfit looks a bit like salmon sashimi?
You're putting way too much thought into this.
I feel like I have to, because literally the only other option is, as Sydney says, Savage just had a stroke.
See, what I was thinking there was that Tonya Harding, who he mentioned first and was in the news a lot in this era for dumb stuff, there may have been an incident recently involving her and sushi, you know, one of those topical references they love so much. And he's probably supposed to, like, reference that first, but then but since there was no context, he just went on about sushi and Dana Dotson, and they got nothing to do with each other, and they just let it die a death.
So there could have been, like, a funny gag at the time.
Pretty much.
It'd be like us watching something from, like, say, 2017, and then a commentator going, "Oh, pen pineapple, apple pen," and you watch it in situ and just go, "Oh, what? Did he have a stroke?" And then you know the context of the time, then it makes sense.
Well, the commentator from 2017 can't have a stroke if it's not in the script. Or if it's telling over the headset to have a stroke. You're supposed to be losing for the third hour. Knock it off.
Incidentally, I know neither of you watch much or any of Crown Jewel. Right, Sid's gone at the mention of Pen Pineapple Apple Pen.
I'm sorry.
No, don't.
I watched the final match. I watched Bray Wyatt versus Seth.
Oh, the Virtual Boy Rules match.
I heard you mention that. I was like, oh my god.
Honestly, brought back horrible
the Kenny
memories.
Rogers chicken match.
But there was a great bit at the start of the 10-man tag, which was in the bag. At Crown Jewel, and as Roman Reigns is walking out, Michael Cole puffs his chest for his big moment. Here comes the bit. Greg Hamilton cuts him off, starts announcing Roman Reigns. Cole comes back after a couple of seconds pause and goes, "Greg Hamilton, you're fired. Here comes the big dog." He was so upset. Greg Hamilton went on my Christmas card list last night. Cole was so upset that he'd lost his big dog shout. That was the one bit of the Saudi trip he was looking forward to. A big Saudi big dog, and he didn't get it because of Greg Hamilton.
Oh my god, I absolutely loved when Ross was like, "Man, I mean, it's like he's having so much trouble in there. If only there was like a big dog he could tag."
Hamilton's gonna wear shorts like Pat McAfee does just to piss Cole off now.
A big dog. If only there was a big dog he could tag into. God, that was funny. Oh, he is a big dog, though.
Anyway, enough
fun. What a big dog.
What a massive dog.
On to Jeff
dog.
Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett versus PJ Walker.
Almost a bit like ungamely. Like, he's too big, really. He can't fit in any kennels.
Yeah, enough pooches. I say.
Too big a dog.
PJ Walker sounds like a familiar name. Did he ever go by something else?
He certainly did. See, had this match taken place 6 years later, you two, this would have been the WCW World Champion versus the ECW World Champion. Because this is double slap nuts Jeff Jarrett versus Just Incredible.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
He follows me on Twitter. Coolest. How did I not recognize him?
He's not just the coolest. He's not just the best. My friends, he's just incredible.
Would you like some garlic breadsticks?
How dare you?
Tom, you're killing me tonight.
I got annoyed when everybody got onto Just Incredible for having a job at Olive Garden. It's like, the guys, I think it's him. I might be wrong. But even so, right?
It's
not like I'm a journalist. It's fine. Hey, look, if Meltzer can do the whole... I mean, he may have a job at Olive Garden. He may not. If he can do it, why can't I?
Like, look, I'm not saying that Justin Credible's the one that allowed those kids to die on the amusement park ride. I might be thinking of somebody else, but...
But even so, he's a bad egg for doing it.
Third time Tom's had a big outburst.
Another last.
Good punch. Vince talks about Dudley Moore having a wedding for some reason, because... What kid knows who Dudley Moore is?
Right, this commentary from this point for the next 20 minutes, it's almost like Vince and Savage went, oh God, we didn't make any topical references in the last show. We better get loads in quick.
Yep.
This whole match is, oh, what about that thing that happened over there? Hey, that's nothing compared to this thing. Like, let's get all our shtick in, lads, while this match is happening. Oh, it was awful. Oh, it was awful.
Would this be the Savage line that, or Savage Vince part that upset you very much?
No,
the Savage.
No. That's not even the bit that upset me.
Okay, because Savage does say he still wants a title match. Vince goes, well, if anyone deserves it, it's you.
That's the bit. When Vince went, well, if anyone deserves a title match, because Savage went, because Vince McMahon said, hey, look, Bret Hart is challenging anybody, and you know what, Savage, if anyone deserves a title match, it's you. And then Savage, God love him, just turns and goes, do you really think so? I was like, oh, mate, how dare you, Vince McMahon, call this man an all-time great and give him nothing, and then just dangle that carrot in front of him. You heartless bastard.
Four.
I felt really bad for Savage in this.
I will tell you, I love
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
And then they go on about Bill Clinton for a bit and talk about just this, that, and the other, because Vince hates Clinton. And
there's some absolute toss about peanut butter sandwiches.
Yes, it's...
And an Arkansas queen is the whole... Is it in this match or the Steiners match where he starts going, hey, Clinton was riding around in his Mustang.
Yeah, next match. We'll save that.
I'll hold that then.
PG almost wins with a cradle during this match because he has a miracle win over IRS to his credit already. But not here. He does the job to the charging DDT, which is actually a cool-looking move. Mm-hmm. And that's that. Double J wins.
What would we have called the charging DDT that Jeff Jarrett does?
Probably the charging DDT.
Oh. Can we not call it like...
Oh, Tom sounded so sad.
Can we not give it like a fun name? Like a country music name?
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
That's what we call it! Anyway, here's
Wonderwall's not country. Wonderwall is not country.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
I thought about a guitar.
I've been listening to Glen Campbell lately. And Glen Campbell released an album called Meet Glen Campbell. And on this album, this is true. It's a covers album, and he does Travis and Sing. He does Foo Fighters Times Like These. He does Tom Petty and Walls. And he does Green Day Good Riddance.
What the?
It's Glen Campbell.
Interesting.
It's amazing. I went to watch him live. I heard that album years ago, and we went to watch him live when he came to Birmingham. It was a bit sad because he obviously was very old at that point. But he had all the lyrics on a big screen in front of him. I was like, oh, mate. And he forgot where he was.
Oh, no.
And they had to shine a little light to get him off stage. All of this is true. All of this is true. There was a guy shining a torch.
Like a cat!
They were shining a torch to get Glen Campbell off. No, this is true. 100% true.
Tom.
Justin, we're done.
I had a name for Jarrett's stupid DDT if you wanted to hear it.
Yes, please.
The Brooks and Dunn.
Get this man a can of Coke. That is it. That's the winner.
Not this late at night.
Brooks and Dunn. Get down that red dirt road. We have a winner.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a Captain Lou promo where he demands a decision from Jack Tunney, and I can't do this justice. If Brian Zane were here, he would do his Captain Lou impression and be great. Tunney, you're an honorable man. I want a decision next week. Go up to Toronto, baby. I want a shot for the head shrinkers. Then go back and give him the title shot, Tunney. You're an honorable man, Jack Tunney.
They just said, Lou, just hit this one point. Yeah, no problem.
Do the Mario. 4 hours later. Swing your arms. Do the Mario. Kill Bowser. I'm brothers with Luigi. Remember that joke? Swing your arms.
I wish Lou Albano was an uncle that visited me at Christmas.
But then left the day after. Like, I don't want too much of him.
What would he give you for Christmas?
Just a earache.
A headache.
Tommy boy, how you doing there, Tommy?
He'd wrap up some twigs that he found on the way, then sort of start explaining why he wrapped them up, and then just start talking about how he managed, like, the hedge shrinkers once, and then fall asleep.
Then wake up and start the story over.
So I got these twigs.
It's going through your trash cans outside for some reason.
I'm just hungry, Daddy. Where's the
glue at? I thought it's all raccoon, Daddy.
I love your raccoon. You're the cartoon.
I wrapped up this raccoon for you.
Just this it's wrapping paper that's frantically fidgeting.
I killed this raccoon trying to steal my hubcaps.
I'm only kidding. I gave him the hubcaps anyway.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Steiner Brothers versus Barry Hardy and Mike Curry.
Should we do every show? Michigan should we do every varsity. Show at 4:30
They're in Michigan varsity jackets. Yay.
So the Steiners are still here at this point. This is their last week of TV tapings for the company. Less appearances. And to watch them come down the aisle for this match, they look so unenthused.
Oh, they look
here.
Like it can't be buggered to be there. They really so, look fed up.
I recommend all of you out there, if you have to watch one squash match this year, watch this match for two reasons. One, Vincent Savage on commentary are to be heard. They make every – I can't even probably put it in the words. I'm dumbfounded. But the best reason is because Scott Steiner has no regard for human life whatsoever during this match. He beats the life out of both Barry Hardy and Mike Curry and almost kills both of them single-handedly.
So this was the last show they did. So presumably they were – it wasn't just the fact that they were going to WCW and they were excited for New Avenger. They were, like, fed up in the WWF.
Yeah, they weren't very happy at this point. They were actually working some New Japan dates at this point and actually showed up in New Japan a couple weeks after this.
You wouldn't hear of that now.
No, absolutely not.
No, you wouldn't, because Bea Priestley did an interview where she talked about why she went to AEW over WWE. And she
really?
Said that, yeah, she said that AEW wanted her to keep her Japan dates. And obviously Will Ospreay lives in Japan, and she's got a lot of stuff that she does with Stardom. And AEW said, yeah, go do that, it's fine. But WWE were like, no, you need to move to Florida and only work for us. Whenever we need you, just live in that box over there. But here's the money. Priestley still went, nah, I'll go AEW, live with someone I love and do a job I love.
Look, the money's nice, but
the money.
I got the money.
I feel like if I was a wrestler and I got offered, I'd go do like 6 months in the WWE. Like,
but they won't
just,
fire you.
And just save it all and then leave. It's like for a wrestler, it must be like getting a really good ISA deal. Like, it must be like a really good savings bond deal. Like, I'm just going to go there for 6 months. My money will treble, and then I'll leave again.
Oh, but then you'll be stuck. Then they'll never let you go.
That's true, actually.
No. Do you hear him tonight? He'd be gone in like a week.
No, Vince would love him.
I'm gonna put this chicken mask and wrestle Kyle O'Reilly with it. What do you think? Hunter put his hand over his face. Gabe Sapolsky put his hand over his fence. Ha ha ha! It's my next champion.
Vince, mate, right now I've got your attention. That Brock Kane match. Right, let's have a chat about it. I've got some ideas above
office. All right, here we
like
go.
With you.
And Tom is flying out the front door like Will Smith on Fresh Prince when Uncle Phil threw him out.
Got into one little fight.
So, and it's about to make me think of Sid immediately. Vince suggested Magic Johnson could manage the Steiner brothers because they went to school. He went to college in the same state as Rick and Scott. Now, Tom, you may not know why this is problematic.
This is very problematic.
I'm excited to find out.
Sid, do you want to explain being a Michigander?
I will explain. So, obviously, the Steiner brothers were wearing Michigan varsity jackets. So, they're talking about University of Michigan. Magic Johnson went to Michigan State University, which is their biggest rival.
Oh, okay. That's a minutia thing about a national thing that should really be paid attention to.
Tom, which two squads in Premier League really hate each other the most, would you say?
Off the top of my head, probably Man United and Man City.
Okay, so imagine Vince saying, like, they should get together because they play in the same league in the same country.
Do you know what's funny? Vince kind of did that. Because they had a wrestling show in Manchester, and all the and they had a Divas tag match. This is back in unenlightened times. They had a Divas tag match where the babyface Diva team came out in Man City tops. Was it Man United? Oh, they came out in I think it was Man United tops. They came out in Man United tops. Now nobody in Manchester supports Man United. They just don't. So they got booed. The other team came out in Liverpool tops, which is meant to be like the local rival. Everyone cheered. Nobody in Manchester supports Man United.
So were the losers relegated to the B show?
It was such an oversight.
The craziest thing is, though, because I know that because now working at the basketball arena there, they talk about how Magic Johnson went to MSU like every single day. Every time you come in, did you know Magic Johnson's here? There's a statue of him right out there. You're going to have to direct people to where the statue is. Like, all this stuff. So I knew as soon as I got there, okay, he went here. And I heard that, and I'm like, did they really just do that? Because that was the dumbest mistake.
The Magic Johnson statue is East Lansing what the Shroud of Turin is to wherever the hell that is.
Another fun wrestling.
So true.
Another fun wrestling soccer story. There's a wrestling promotion based in Sunderland, which is just down the road from Newcastle. And there's a lot of rivalry between Newcastle and Sunderland, particularly in the sports. Now, Newcastle's home kit is black and white stripes. So the referees at this company in Sunderland wear red and white. Because if they turn up in black and white stripes, the uninitiated fans will probably kill them. So the refs wear red and white. Fun fact.
I did enjoy that fun fact.
You're welcome.
Yeah, same.
So Scott is killing Mike Curry with dragon suplexes as Savage and Vince make fun of Nancy Kerrigan for crying.
That is such a 1994 WWF sentence that you said just then.
And I wrote, and I will edit myself here, the F is this.
Is it because, like, they know that these lads are on the way out, so they're not going to invest any time in promoting them?
It's possible.
So they're just like, let's just talk about, hey, what about this topical thing?
That's why Vince started singing Mustang Sally at one point, reference to Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that was it. See what they were talking about driving around with a top off, and it was like in reference to Sally. Oh, it was rubbish. What did you
A topless
say?
Beauty joke referring to Bill Clinton's extramarital activities. Scott Steiner has the audacity in a pointless match to kill Mike Curry with an avalanche angle slam.
That was amazing.
because Scott Steiner, before he was Big Papa Pump, may have been the greatest wrestler on planet Earth.
He really was great. Like, we talked about that. Like, I'm sad that this is the last time we'll see them, because Scott Steiner was just... he could have been a great solo guy at this point. Like, he should have been the Lex Luger. Like, blow up reality for a second and just imagine that if it was Scott Steiner getting the Lex Luger treatment, okay? You'd have beautifully aggressive promos. You would have a guy who was proper All-American, like All-American sports guy from Michigan State. He's got the jacket and everything. And you'd have phenomenal matches. Like, it seems to me, it's just he didn't have the look that Vince wanted and he wanted with Lex Luger. But Scott Steiner would have been a great guy to put on the Scott bus to fight Yokozuna. Oh, it would have been great.
If he had Big Papa Pump physique then, Vince would have creamed himself.
Oh, God, just a little bit. Like, Scott Steiner could have been the guy that easily could have lifted Yokozuna.
He would have thrown him. He would have thrown him out into the friggin' ocean.
He'd have belly to bellied him like completely into another continent. He would have been great. But you know, hindsight and all that nonsense.
But he probably couldn't hit Yoko with this move, which was the finish when Steiner picks up poor Mike Curry, who must have pissed Steiner off backstage, and hits him with the Steiner screwdriver.
Rough.
One of the absolute scariest moves in history. And that's your finish.
Bye-bye, Steiners. Leave the memories alone.
Hell, bye-bye, Mike Curry.
Oh, bye-bye, Mike Curry. Sorry about you being dead and all.
Yes, okay. Steiner. Yes, Sydney.
I'm sorry I've been silent this whole time, but, and this is a little off topic, but I just have the TV on, and that stupid late show with Lily Singh or whatever just showed up. David Arquette's on it.
Ooh.
Well, that's not off topic. He likes Scott Steiner. Is a former WWE World Champion.
Yeah, he had the championship. I was like, is someone dressed as just a wrestler? And I looked it up, and no, it's actually David Arquette.
He won the belt before Steiner did.
Wow. I'm sorry. I was dumbfounded. I was like, oh my God, what?
Saying goodbye then to the Steiners and to David Arquette for now, Sydney, if that's all right.
That's okay.
Sorry. And we welcome a new one to the WWE. F-E-F-F.
F-E-F-F.
Welcome to someone new to the Wolf.
Tom had a stroke.
I had a little stroke there. We got some sushi. I don't know what that means.
Yes, we get the first vignette on Raw for Duke the Dumpster Drosy, who informs us, I don't take garbage from anyone. Well, yeah, I do. All right, that was kind of funny. I'm not going to lie.
That was a good line. That was a good line.
I'm friends with Duke on Facebook, and I got to say, he's a pretty funny guy. And you do see his personality a little bit through this gimmick, even if it wasn't the most ideal character in the world. Like, Duke had a good look to him. He was a big dude with a mullet and a beard. He was like if Crush was blue collar. But this gimmick was kind of death.
I'm going to try and get... Is he on there as Duke? Is he real Duke Drosy?
I think he's Mike Drosy.
I've got Mike Drosy and then real Duke Drosy. Tweeted about 4 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're getting him on.
How many people are you Facebook friends with, Justin? Like wrestlers?
Everybody.
Who's your best one? Which one have you kissed?
You.
Don't kiss me yet, mate. Give it time.
Throwback.
Classic Raw Review Live, mate. You are getting a kiss. So, whenever we do that, you're getting a kiss, mate.
So Vince is...
I'm joking. Getting a big kiss. Chitty's had one. Ross has had one. Sam's had one. Getting a kiss, mate.
So here we have Vince continually pushing Randy Savage off the turnip truck here. While Duke the Dumpster Drosy is coming in, and Quang can earn a title match by beating Bret Hart in a non-title match.
What now times we live in!
And now we come to our weekly installment of Serial Savage.
Oh. Bum bum!
What happened, thought Randy? When did I become this graying ghost of a bygone era? No longer as vibrant as the orange pajamas on my back. The manufactured enthusiasm grew harder to force, his expensive energy leaving him spiritually decrepit. Though his form showed the spryness of a spring-loaded soldier, His unorthodox sunglasses hid a brooding spirit. With every playful prod about wanting to get back into the ring, he knew that Vince's playful chuckle was there solely to humor him. Ineffective aloe for the perpetual burns that ate away at his damaged soul. He could feel that pompadour Pez dispenser to his left cackling away, oblivious to his barely concealed torment. It was as if each belly laugh was designed as another hammer strike to his already eroding confidence, the all-time great label a dunce cap pulled down over his ears. Stockholm Syndrome couldn't be too far off, as each passing day of inactivity brought him one step closer to agreeing with the judgment of this Brill Cream dunderhead that signed his lightning paychecks. As he watched that trash truck pull away, Randy couldn't help but see the symbolism, reading far more deeply into that hackneyed vignette than anybody in this dwindling Target demo would have. The refuse was on its way to the landfill, but his value, he lamented, that was already there. And as he sipped from his glass after that night's work, he pondered if his spirit was preparing to make that same trip. This has been your installment of Savage Cereal.
Can you hear that?
What is that?
That was me snapping.
In the same manner that Tom snaps? Tom, what are you playing?
He's playing noir music. I love it.
You should play that while I'm talking for next time. Because there will be
more
coming.
How do you know you haven't in the edit?
Oh, right.
I have Dominion.
I don't know why I had a feeling that was the start of a fan fiction at first.
It was, basically.
Dear Penthouse, this has never happened to me before, but...
Dear Penthouse, I don't know what this means.
But I think I'm starting to figure out what it...
I never had a sushi Slim Jim before. But they said it was normal.
No, my cat left me.
No!
She jumped down because I'm laughing too much.
Cat got
It was too excited. So now, enough fun. Time for the King's Court with Alundra Blaze.
No! Can I please go?
No, you're staying here because the women's evolution demands
that
we have a female member of the Raw Review.
Then I'm here every week.
Yes, please. If you could just go, wow, ooh, oh my, that'd be fine.
What's this?
That's fine. Just say that.
I'll be Jack Skellington when he arrives in Christmas Town. What's this? There's wrestling everywhere.
Something got my hair.
What's Alundra doing in there besides killing the show? So, I had high hopes for this.
Tom's
one.
Trying.
Tom always tries. He's
I
a trooper.
Very hard and got so far, but in the end, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter. Yes.
I'm doing this for kicks because I'll be dead at 36 anyway.
It's pretty true. Dead at 36, mate.
So I had high hopes for this to start because, well, Jerry Lawler's involved, and Lawler's a funny guy. And in fact, he had two good lines during this bit. One is before she comes out there, Alundra Blaze, and he tells us that she spent 3 hours in the beauty shop, and that was just to get an estimate.
That was a good funny line, actually.
So Alundra comes out minus the belt. All she had to do was call High Spots. They would have sent her a new one. or just ask one of the fans who walks through the arena with belts if they can borrow theirs.
No, they're too busy defending them. The rule is if you take a belt to a show, you have to defend it.
Why haven't they done a bit where R-Truth beats up fans yet and tries to win their belts?
Just R-Truth leaving the venue with like 37 replica Universal Championships.
He's just dragging them behind like one long chain of belts.
These are all mine now.
I'm the hardcore Universal Intercontinental Champion.
I got 4 J crowns.
48-37.
I want R-Truth to start naming the belts different. Like, I'm the 24-48 AEW Tag Team Champion.
Then there's
I'm the IWGP AEW champion.
Yes, I love that.
No, no, he gives them human names. I will defend Susan to her death and mine. Guys, let's stop having fun. We got to slog through this.
Well, they're having fun on Raw because Alundra Blaze is wearing a crown that says Lawler is a loser, designed by a 4-year-old. No,
it's spelled wrong. Lawler is spelled wrong.
Was it?
Yes.
It was.
It's Lawler.
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 Even more like a child spelled it. It was spelled L-A-W-L-E-R.
Maybe it was Izzy who made it.
It was opposite, my bad. I just realized I spelled it right. L-A-L-W-E-R.
Well, then, Lola gets back at her by asking how many peeping toms she's cured. Go on, that's funny.
That is that. Oh,
oh
yeah.
No, it's. I
no,
get
what?
It
no,
now.
No, it's equal opportunity. That is a funny gag.
It is. It is.
Gag. The whole segment is shocking, but that is a funny gag. Like, I think if it was thrown at a guy, it would still be funny. If it was thrown at an antelope, it would still be funny. I think the saddest thing is they sent Alundra Blaze out. Alundra Blaze. They sent out Alundra Blaze without her belt, but with a crown spelt wrong, written by a child. Like, that's your champion right there.
That wasn't the worst thing they sent her out there with.
Oh.
They sent her out with this next line.
Now, one quick thing.
Yes.
Before the thing, I just found out David Arquette is dressed up as X-Pac with the world title. And their other guest is dressed as Jon Snow. So that guy copied Sam.
Sam?
He's dressed as Sam Driver.
But yeah, David Arquette is dressed as X-Pac right now.
Amazing. Amazing. Anyway, Sam for Halloween was dressed like Harry Potter, wasn't he? Didn't appreciate me saying that.
So we come to Alundra, who is about to, if this were the social media era, end her own career. She made Owen Hart on the phone earlier sound like Tom right now.
What, manic and tired and a bit sad?
I am a woman that was that bad.
Is that not how a shampoo advert starts? I am a woman. I'm a woman, and I have a job.
I'm a woman, and I use Dove.
I'm a woman. I have a jobs, so therefore I need Dove to make sure I don't smell. Here's some science. They use microbiolics to make me look ready for that big meeting. Come at me, boss. I'm ready. Dove.
She snorted twice.
I'm a woman.
Three times. Who broke shit?
Hello. I am a woman from off of a family, and I need to make sure I'm clean as often as I can, just in case that big meeting happens. Thanks, Dove. I'm Reed Drummond. I'm a writer, a blogger, a mother, a pioneer woman. Here's what's happening on the ranch.
Tom.
And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Tom, you're only delaying the inevitable here.
No.
We must get
Reed Drummond line in.
She just, like, I swear to God, she was a third grader who was on stage for the first time and didn't memorize their script for the school play and had to come out and be like, "It all the king's horses and all the king's men put Humpty back together again."
She said, "Maniacal laugh."
Maniacal laugh.
Maniacal laugh. Shut the door, taking over the show.
She said, "Rumor has it." Enough times, I think Adele based a song on it.
Can somebody really clever, John? Can you set Rumor Has It by Adele, but using the clips of Alundra Blaze? I know you specialise in photo restoration, not so much video shenanigans. But I asked Matthew to do a video the other day, and he still hasn't done it. So I'll ask you, John.
We could.
The chat me up thing was incredible.
Do you know what? No, it's only because John himself says, "I don't normally do video." So I don't want to. He's great when he does it. John Eiley is a national treasure and should be protected at all costs. But
absolutely.
I think, but he himself has said, "I don't really do video stuff, lads." So if you feel up to it, give us Adele. Rumor has it with Alundra Blaze.
Thankfully, Luna's here.
I hear you're a woman from a family.
Is that thankfully?
Yes. And she calls herself the authoress of evil.
What does that mean?
She writes about evil.
There you go. authoress. I thought she was saying like author, like something completely different.
Like a type of dinosaur.
Yeah, like a dinosaur.
The mighty authoress. That's the noise an authoress makes.
John, make a dinosaur called the authoress.
Thank you, John.
With Luna's face.
And a dragon.
And a dragon. There is the dragon.
So, dragons.
Alundra claims Luna stole the belt. Rumor has it.
Yeah, because that's the big thing here is Alundra Blaze has come out and he's gone and she's gone. Oh gosh, hey Jerry, where's my belt? Like, and Jerry's like, I don't know. There's all shenanigans. Then Luna comes out and then we're up to speed. It's a lot of belt missing stories here.
Some would say it's the rumor and innuendo.
Rumor and innuendo. Chat me up on this, King. Rumor and innuendo is you stole.
Rumor and innuendo. Wow. Rumor and innuendo. Wow. Condell. Okay, well, so then Alundra walks away from this potential fight when she's supposed to be the aggressor, which I did not understand in one bit. She needed like a battery recharge. I don't know.
I think she was like, well, he doesn't have my belt in front of him. She doesn't have my belt. I guess my belt's backstage. Okay, maybe I just forgot it in the car. It's with my dove.
She's a busy woman from a family. And she hasn't got time to remember belts.
Earthquake versus Mike Bell.
Yes.
Silence.
That was a nice little pause in play. I like that.
That wasn't even edited. Yeah.
I'm not even going to edit that out. I was just going to give it a nice little pause. Just a few minutes. Enjoying each other's silent company.
We do get a funny spot during this match where Mike Bell wants to test the strength. Quake's way taller than him. Bell can't reach up for it, so he goes to the middle rope. Quake walks over and humors him. They go to the knuckle lock, and Quake just throws him to the ground. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I like that. I thought Quake was a good laugh here. I thought, like, it still doesn't feel like the right fit for this new generation, unless they're building him to put somebody over. But then I thought they would have done that with Adam Bomb.
Well, they are building a feud here because Vince references John Tenta's legitimate sumo background during this match.
Oh.
That may be going somewhere.
Now, if you've watched this with us on the WWE Network, you'll have seen all the thumbnails for the future show. So you'll know what's probably round the corner. So this is a nice little seed plant for said match.
Uh-huh. And John Tenta, I believe on his Wikipedia, actually has a photo of him in his sumo garb, clean shaven, which is kind of a weird look for him. He looks like a giant Jack Torrance. It's kind of bizarre.
He needed to shave his hair at this point. He had the egg curtain going on.
It works for him though.
I think he could have just shaved it off and still been just as menacing.
I don't know. I think...
And look younger in the process. I always decided, and when you know, if I ever get old enough, where my hair starts receding like that, I'm just gonna shave it all off.
I don't do that.
Nah, if it starts going, I'm gonna take control of my own destiny. I'm gonna go bald. Keep the beard though, so my head looks all right upside down.
You should rock the skullet.
Oh, I don't know if I could get away with a skullet in 2020 for the last few years of my life.
Last few years, come on.
Well, the last
man.
Few months, even. My apologies.
It's going to happen quickly.
Dead at 36. Just it'll be gone like that.
Blink. You know how bad I'm going to feel if you actually die.
Oh, well, mine, mate. I'll be dead.
Well, I mean, it's.
Don't worry about it. Just feel fine about it. It's all good.
Okay.
I went with all my bills paid, all my life in order. It's all fine.
I feel better now. Anyway, moving on.
Are you stuff?
I got over it quickly.
I from a family. Really sometimes I die at 36. That's why I used to.
Sometimes I die at 36. That's why.
I mean, the Quicks throw some drop kicks and look pretty good. He slowly beats on Mike Bell for a while because I think they're killing time.
They do drag this, don't they?
Apparently, Alundra's supposed to go on for 5 more minutes. She's supposed to read, like the Gettysburg Address or something.
She had another 12 absolute zingers to throw at Lawler, and she just forgot him.
Did they tie a pork chop around your neck so the dog would play with you?
David Arquette died.
What?
On the episode, apparently.
Oh, you missed
just laying there dead.
Well, don't say it like that. It makes it sound like the man actually died.
No, not like that. He's very much corpsing during his.
I'm the news writer. I'm sorry. Know these things.
I'm sorry.
Justin's already written 100 words.
More work for me. Grumble. Stop dying, everybody.
Have you not got an obit folder? I've started building an obit folder.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Tom Campbell 2020.
I'm in there, obviously. All my best bits, because I'm friggin'
We're sad to report that Tom Campbell, who's been with us for the past 18 months and has worked hard for
10 minutes,
passed away this morning. We thank Tom for 3 months of hard work. I've been here for 18. We know.
Yeah, nobody will know about it. Why? Because no one else knows how to use Audition in this office apart from me.
Tom's shooting.
I have dominion over the podcast. I got the login to the Acast and everything.
This is the Tom Campbell KVM commentaries you shoot.
More. Seriously, Justin, sorry that I freaked you out.
I'm a busy mom from a family.
Quick finish up with a big splash. What are you going on about?
I'm a mum from a family. I'm a woman. I'm a busy woman from a family.
Tom's going to sleep good tonight.
No, I'm doing a half day today on time recording because, thank you, by the way, to everybody who donated to my Sober October. I spent 31 days without a drink, raising money for Macmillan.
Oh, that's what it is.
No. I ain't started yet, mate.
No, not that. You snapped like Jack Torrance. One goddamn drink your drop of...
Do you know what? I was so ready to get back on the booze. I've booked a half day today. So I'm leaving the office at 11. I'm meeting my mates at the train station at 11:30. And as you're listening to the podcast, I'm probably still in the pub.
Tom, we come to your favorite part of the show.
Oh, yes. Now, this bit, if it's the bit that I'm thinking of,
would this be this is the vignette of Tatanka versus Quang from this past weekend?
Oh, what a lively crowd at Superstars. It seems differently lit.
A little bit. But the aesthetic is not important here. What is important here is that Bray Wyatt's dad is a colossal dick.
Yep.
Okay, so Quang missed Tatanka for the DQ. Iris, meanwhile, is at ringside playing with the sacred headdress. Sacred. That is important here. Iris then goes in the ring and starts beating Tatanka's ass with the headdress. Feathers are flying everywhere. It's like a massacre in a hen house.
He puts it on his head and goes, oh, 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 because that's really culturally sensitive.
Totally.
His son is the spawn of Satan. Right on conclusion. So, after Tatanka is tied in the ropes covered in Nickelodeon gack, Chief J Strongbow hits the ring. At this point, he's approximately 88 years old. I was dying laughing watching this part. I'm sorry. He chops IRS, who sells it and goes down. So Iris gets up and beats the crap out of Chief J Strongbow while destroying the headdress. All because Tatanka didn't pay the gift tax on it.
If only he'd paid the gift tax, this could have all been avoided.
I don't care. This is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
This was IRS at his most dickish. This whole bit felt like I watched it and it felt genuinely uncomfortable.
Wait till later in the year when he feuds with Undertaker. We see what he does then.
Oh, my God. I feel like it's one of those moments that on Superstars, they should have done it without commentary. And it would have really, like, but it was always just going to be, like, shouty commentary over the top of telling us rather than showing us. You could have done it without commentary. Yeah. You might as well have put a laugh track in.
Strummer goes down.
What?
What? play the Benny Hill music.
Say Strongbow chasing IRS around the ring.
What the target's all tied up. Oh. Everybody else joins in. Vince, Savage, all just running around the ring.
Benny Hill hasn't aged well, has it?
How about Vince gets Benny Hill's comedy?
Oh, this is such good.
and he's right.
It's the bit where he rips the woman's dress off. Oh, Benny Hill was weird. That was weird. Weird. Sydney, you missed all that. It was an odd time.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I know Benny the music, Hill. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the sketch was, it would be like they play that music and then they would have shots of Benny Hill just being an arse, running around like parks in London, just like knocking things over, pushing people over, and eventually more and more people would be chasing him because he was, you know, like he'd like knock a policeman's hat off his head and the policeman would start chasing him. It'd like be a guy painting in the park and he'd scrawl something over the painting so the painter would start chasing him. There'd be a woman in the park and he would rip the woman's dress off so she was just there in her underpants, so then she'd start chasing him in just her underpants. And honest to God, this sounds like something that my overtired mind has made up. I promise you, that was Benny Hill. That was Benny Hill.
And it was glorious.
And it was
wow,
of a time.
Wow, I need to see this.
It was of a time. When you watch it, Sydney, please, as I say, it was of a time. Okay. Excuse it, but it was off a time.
It's timeless, is what it
it's
is.
It's not timeless. It's timeful.
How dare you?
It's timed.
All right, Tom, answer me this one question. Are the Three Stooges geniuses?
Comedy timing, yes. They were the geniuses of comedy timing.
Okay, you're still my co-host. That was a very important question.
No, yeah,
I was going to say, if you're talking about intellectually, I don't know for sure if that's
true. I'm sure they were, because they
okay,
knew...
Okay, Saber, have your brother on next week instead of you.
No!
They knew their audience. They knew what the audience wanted for a long time. So they're obviously clever.
No, I totally get that. And the comedy time.
You don't have to
totally
defend
that.
I'm just
messing with
Jesus.
I was talking about the characters, like the actual characters.
They're all dum-dums.
They are not intelligent.
Well, that's
not
point.
The people behind these characters.
They're brilliant.
They're basically Ed, and Eddie, but for a different generation.
Yes! I love Ed, and Eddie.
Ed, and Eddie is the Three Stooges. It is. It's
How
three
dare st- you?
It is the Three Stooges of a different generation. Not in terms of cultural impact. Not in terms of cultural impact at all. But in terms of character.
Should have your eyes gouged out for that.
A clever one, an arrogant one, and a dickhead one, right? That is your basic premise of the Three Stooges and Ed, and Eddie.
Right, that's this show.
Exactly. Except we're all the dickhead one.
I wonder who's who.
John's the clever one.
Speaking of major dickheads, IRS versus Major Yates.
Yates.
That's my new favorite name for a jobber.
Did we like IRS's new finisher?
Well, he did. He does it better than John Cena, doesn't
he? He does, and it's even got its own name.
Yes, it's called The Penalty.
The Penalty?
It's an SPF. Which he actually applies the crossface part somewhat properly, better than how Cena does
it.
Wow.
I don't know whether I prefer the write-off.
It's just a diving clothesline. It's kind of generic, but I guess the penalty is a little bit different.
Yeah, I guess it's nice to have a signature move and a finishing move.
I like the IRS had to use the ropes on the abdominal stretch for Major Yates.
See that he's a tough cookie, that Major Yates.
Savage at one point tells us Major Yates is cool.
You're on your own, man.
Thanks for letting us know.
Remember the part
in
the
thing?
I
never guessed.
Remember the part in the thing when Wilford Brimley finally snapped?
Was that when his pancreas stopped working?
That
was really mean. I'm sorry.
He's still alive. His pancreas stopped working. Wilford Brimley was like doing diabetes commercials.
Diabetes.
I'm a woman from a family.
I have diabetes.
I use diabetes.
I use diabetes.
I don't like glucose. Diabetes.
Share me up with Blue Chew, give me diabetes.
Is that JR or Wilford Brimley there, Justin?
We're drug testing everybody on this show tomorrow.
JR tested possibly for positive for Blue Chew. He's off the road. He's off the road for 90 days. Right, though, he's got a massive boner that will keep him distracted.
JR's in limbo and can play limbo thanks to
not very well with that Bluetooth.
So just to date this show further, we got an NBA Jam ad.
Oh, get in!
Hell yeah,
NBA Jam.
NBA Jam was my jam. Johnny Polo is backstage and gives us the most half-assed promos he's given to this point.
Did you not look at where Johnny Polo was? Did you not recognize where Johnny Polo was?
Was he at the center of the earth?
No, he is literally in the Cultaholic studio.
Actually, now that you mention it.
Right, okay, I've got a snap of it that I'm gonna send to you guys now, right? In our Skype conversation. So you can appreciate it. Conversation.
This is our longest show ever, by the way.
I know.
I love it.
There's some bits we can cut out, so that's fine. Right.
We'll edit it.
Hang on. So that is... So it's in the chat now. So that's Johnny Polo. That's where he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was his pins. Okay. I thought it was something else.
He's literally...
And that is where I am right now.
Hey, little snot. Thanks for watching.
I'm expecting Scotty.
How did he get here? He stole my building.
Johnny, I'm expecting Johnny Polo just to go, if you like a lot of wrestling on YouTube. Start talking about being, start talking about home bargains.
I'm Johnny from Cultaholic, and here are 10 people who were knocked out during wrestling matches. Join us.
Oh, what would his outro be?
Thanks for watching, you little snot. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter. I don't give a damn.
I don't have an outro. He's the Sandman in an ill-fitting T-shirt.
So next week, we got Bam Bam Bigelow in action. We got 1-2-3 Kid. We got Owen Hart. We got Razor vs. Jarrett. God, that's a much better show than what we just watched this week.
Oh, but you know what? It won't be as fun as this episode was.
Probably not. Savage gives us his pick for the winner of Razor vs. Jarrett. He goes, I pick one of the two guys. Both of them.
God. That man. We're all playing chess. He's playing 4D checkers.
My favorite thing was Vince just kind of looked at him and went, oh, okay. And then he just started laughing.
Savage is basically, he's like Quick Draw McGraw meets Jim Morrison at this point.
Yeah, that's a good shout. That's a very good shout. And also, they're deep into, it's just like the second hour of a taping.
Yes.
So he's tired.
He's punchy. Like
he's boogeyman 3 hours into a live stream.
I like Lay's potato chips.
Lay's potato chips. I watched Adam Pacitti for 25 hours keep the spirit alive. Boogeyman gave up after 3 in that video.
Well, he's old. His cardio's not up like it used to be.
Pacitti's got cracking cardio.
Yeah, Pacitti's like he's a Joanna Jędrzejczyk of Cultaholic.
Wow. That is a reference and a half, my friend. And he's a busy woman from a family.
Tom, just so you know, we are going to play this at your intervention when it does come to pass, or your wake, whichever comes first.
That's absolutely fine. I'm excited for it.
Tom's wake / intervention.
All right, when's he turn 36?
Next year,
January.
Wait, January?
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy Christmas.
I'm going to enjoy Christmas. That's the end.
Because I'm fine. Oh, no, I'm not having another one. It's just this one. It's fine.
Tom, just see Spider-Man. And a Russell King. Oh, dear.
I messaged Tom about the podcast. He was meant to be here 2 hours ago.
Justin's like, well, it happened.
If I ever not make it, just assume it's happened. And just you and Sid go on without me.
I'll just imitate you. I'll talk myself for an hour and a half. Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review. See, whilst the other guys were, like, living...
Why am I German?
I was lying on the floor, breathing my final breath. I'd be Tom Campbell, Jake Joy...
I am not German!
Radio presenter...
Guten Abend, meine Freunde! Ich habe Tom Campbell! That's a real piggy power!
But don't worry. I'll put the fake beard on when I imitate you.
Thank you.
And I'll take it off when I'm myself.
I appreciate that, mate. I want you to film it. I want it to be like a one-man show.
Yeah, it's like a single white female.
Single white maniac.
And I am joined by the head pen of Cultaholic. If you were to give him a pencil, he would break it between his hands like Tyson Fury and jab it into your eye sockets. He's Justin Henry from All of America. Hi, Tom. How you doing? I'm doing great.
Yeah, I am fine. Thank you, Justin.
Obviously alive. My pulse is going.
He's like, you're like behind, you're like, you like pick up his body and just do like the stupid wave.
It'd be a system of pulleys and levers.
Oh, God. Oh.
You're really talented, Justin. I think you should get my monthly salary.
Weekend at Berliners. Tom.
And it's Tom holds you from beyond the grave. He's like Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Tom, there you go.
Oh.
The demon barber of Cultaholic.
Oh, God. Okay. Right. I think it's on that bombshell that we call time on what has been a frantic episode of the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review.
This is our best one. Show ever.
Best episode
we've ever. Done. We'd like
best
to thank
100%.
Like to thank Sidney Samowitz for joining us for this. Thank you, Sidney.
Thanks for having me.
Been an honor and a privilege. Justin, it's always a pleasure, mate.
I'm glad you're alive, Tom.
I'm all right for now. I would like it. Justin, can you do the outro, but as me?
I don't even know what you say anymore. Because
yes, you do. I've said it 57 times in your company.
I am a family.
He is at JRH Writing. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. You can follow us at Cultaholic on Twitter, at Cultaholic. Love you, bye, love you, bye, love you, bye, love you, bye.
Very accurate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.